to the mobile vertical of our CCW, DCIA Cloud Computing West meeting. We've got, well, three lovely panelists so far up here. Possibly we'll be joined by a fourth. First up, we have Ms. Melody Yoon. I hope I got that right.
Mm-hmm.
VP and CTO of Carrier Services at CSS. She is a telecommunications and data communications professional with over 30 years industry experience. Her background includes expertise in wireless and wireline core networks, as well as optical transport and data communications. Before CSS, she was an enterprise architectural practice manager with AT&T Mobility, providing technical and business strategy support to large customers with wireless data applications. Her practice included the AT&T signature customers in all industries, as well as many government customers. She has special expertise and focus in security and critical infrastructure. She was a key contributor to AT&T's wireless reference architecture and has published several technology white papers. Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Melody Yoon.
Thanks. Wow. That's a great intro. Thanks so much, Ross. With a small group, I thought I would just kind of get down and be on the floor level, and that way I can kind of move around a bit, hopefully keep it a little bit more interactive. So here's the compulsory, very quick things. You know, when I was at AT&T, very few people would ask me, who's AT&T, right? But now at CSS Corp, who is CSS Corp? This is just a little bit of the services that they provide really on the cloud side, not the entire company. We do much more than this, but I just wanted to flash these quickly for you so that you could get a flavor of, you know, our perspective. We do analytics-led support, cloud infrastructure. We use AWS and do cloud migration for some very large customers over there, as well as mobility-led applications where we mobilize standard apps. We have delivery centers all across the entire globe, as you can see. I'm based out of Dallas, Texas, if you haven't picked that up from my speech already. And then we've got a really great roster of satisfied customers all along. I mean, the division that I'm in actually does professional services for telecommunications carriers, so you don't see many of mine up there, but it would include AT&T, and we work through Ericsson and Alcatel-Lucent and Cisco and so forth. But on the enterprise side, we've got a, you know, great list of companies all across the globe that we do work for. And then, of course, you know, we've got a, you know, been validated many times with awards and accolades. So now that that's over, let's talk about issues for mobility and cloud computing. It seems like an odd topic, right? Because even my boss was like, now you're a security person and you're a carrier person, a mobility person, so why are you talking about cloud computing and mobile storage? I mean, mobility and cloud, like, that's, you know, doesn't sound like it would go together. But in fact, with mobility, as well as a lot of the technology landscape these days, whether it's cloud, security, you know, whatever, there's just a confluence of overlap, right? And so in the mobility space that I was been fortunate to work in for the last many decades of my career, it's a really exciting time, right? And you can see that why is it important for cloud and mobility? Well, I don't have a laser pointer, but you can see I put the red arrows up there. When this recent survey from a consulting firm about what was the most important mobile breakthrough categories for this year, you can see that a couple of the top ones up there, specifically mobile cloud services, big data, really have all to do about the cloud, right? Okay, and the other ones are important too. In fact, mobile payments, it could be argued that, you know, that's got a heavily cloud influence as well, with the back end there, mobile commerce as well. And so, as we know, that you know, now that mobile applications are taking over the world, I can see that, and the proof point is that more than half of my audience today are utilizing mobile applications in the cloud, even as I'm speaking. It's a little joke there, but it's so important that now you'll see that the application space is getting so much more sophisticated than it ever was even a few years ago, that the cloud has become a necessary and important component. I wanted to give you just a quick reference architecture, just as a bonus FYI, because as a former and now recovering enterprise architect, I can't speak without a reference architecture, and so I'm even going to kind of point a few things out here. And this is just FYI. I trust that most of you guys and gals in the audience already get this. But over here, you've got your, you know, your smartphone, your tablet device, your, you know, connected device, whatever. It's going to be picked up to a tower, right? And this is all the mobility network of the public carrier, whether it's AT&T, Verizon, whatever in this country. It's going to go through that core mobility network. And then you'll have some network-to-network connectivity. This is really going out of style here, the frame relay, but most importantly, we always have seen VPN over internet, as well as private MPLS or public-based MPLS. And then what's the cloud? Well, finally, when these apps go back and grab data or interact, right, that's going to be in some sort of back end, whether it's the enterprise back end, a little private cloud, if you will, or, you know, a public cloud, a hybrid cloud, maybe even a private data center that you wouldn't call a cloud. But the back end is, you know, what I would call in this context the cloud, right? And so all the apps that you use, unless they're just pretty rinky-dink these days, are going to be, you know, doing these very things here and accessing a cloud storage. So that's the key tie-in. Now, what are some of the challenges in that, right? Because, you know, we've done mobile email now for years and years and years. That's like last year's pink, right? And then we've done calendaring and PIM data. That's, you know, that's so 2008, right? But now we're getting into ERP and CRM, a lot of different apps and product areas for enterprises and other people that are, you know, mission critical, business critical. And the data sets are so large that they're necessarily stored in the cloud, right? I mean, if you're an enterprise of any size or consequence, your CRM data, your whatever, is not going to be a downloadable file that's going to be, you know, on a smart device. So that's really surrounding the issue there. And so when we think of the key factors that users perceive in the performance of cloud computing, there are really four areas. And I got this out of a nice paper you know, that I found on the net that I can give you the source for. But it's really true, and I wouldn't dispute any of these. And they are, you know, processing time at the data center, and that's the same for mobility as it would be for desktop or whatever, terrestrial facilities or whatever. Processing time on the device, right? So do you have a really nice big workstation on your desk, or do you have a teeny little smartphone that, even though, you know, iPhone 5C is now, you know, super duper hyped up, it's, you know, much more powerful, but still on a relative basis, not as much computing power there. Network latency. Okay, you've got broadband ubiquitously in a lot of places these days, but, you know, even at that last mile juncture, whether it's inside this hotel at the beautiful Cosmopolitan, or whether it's a rural setting, or maybe you're in an area of a metropolitan area that doesn't get great coverage, is your last mile experience from a wireless perspective the same network latency that you would get on a fixed line broadband? Even if you are, and I've got, a slide come up on this, getting great experience with your public provider or your private Wi-Fi network, your last mile experience likely is not as big a bandwidth as a fixed wireline. And then the data transport time sort of goes hand in hand there. So when we look at mobility versus fixed, just really quick little report card there in the last column. When we look at the processing time at the data center, well, that's equal, right, because mobility doesn't affect that. Processing time on the device, I would argue much worse, because even though smartphones are on a hockey stick in terms of getting, you know, better and better multi-core processors, you know, et cetera and so forth, they're still, you know, they're still not going to be as big of computing power as potentially as a desktop or a server. The network latency and the data transport, as I just explained, is worse, and you've got coverage concerns. And we're going to get into that a little bit more in a couple of slides. And I'm going to, you know, give you the inside skinny of probably what you already realize, is that the great thing about wireless is that it's ubiquitous and everybody's relying on it. And the bad part about wireless is it's not quite ubiquitous, and when people rely on it, it's hard to, you know, do session persistence and stuff. mobility, mobile devices, whether it's a smartphone, a tablet, a phablet, a smart device, a connected device like your BMW or your GM car. Let's face it, and this slide is harder to explain nowadays because we have come a long, long way in mobile computing. I mean, literally orders of magnitude better and more powerful than it was even a few 3 to 5 years ago. However, it's still, comparatively speaking, a resource-poor environment. Now, the tiny print here is my disclaimer. This is a typical business configuration. It's nominal and for discussion only. But just the other day at my desk, I had some old information on this, and I wanted to refresh it. But when you look at the iPhone 5S, you know, you've got a great battery, 2 hours talk time. You've got, you know, a dual-core chipset. You've got 64 gigs of storage and, you know, 1 gig of RAM. But here, a Dell Latitude that you can purchase, you know, for your student or, you know, maybe in a business user mid-range, certainly not the most powerful one, certainly not the least powerful one, but you've got more of everything there, right? And you've got even power and stuff that's, you know, going to be persistent and consistent. So when we talk about storage and we think about mobile devices, one of the big challenges in mobility is that the device itself, right? And for that, there's really kind of two areas, and I'm going off-roading here, Ross, because you told me to talk about storage, but the other big one is battery life, right, and power, right? So we're going to kind of sneak that in as a, you know, Cloud Computing West bonus material here. There you go. He's got his power cord hanging up. That's great. And so when we look at this, and this is a little dated, but these are the projections for mobile computing trends, and this does not include, desktop or laptop. This is only netbooks, tablets, smartphones, and feature phones. So you can see it's on a hockey stick, so that's great news, right? And by next year, we're going to be expecting to have, you know, roughly 275 gigabytes of storage, and then CPU very strong too. But again, you know, it's still getting better. It's getting orders of magnitude better, but it's still always going to be a little bit weaker than desktop. Add to that the battery life. You know, the good news is you can go into any retail store in this country and buy, you know, quad band phones, and, you know, they can roam all around the planet. They can go in this country, in that country, all across Europe, and this and that. They can go on Wi-Fi. They can go on LTE. They can go on, you know, multi-technology, multi-bands. That's the great news. The bad news is these phones can go all over the world, go on multi-bands, multi-technologies, and they drain battery like my brother-in-law at the cash bar, right? I mean, they just drain a lot of battery. And that's just the nature of physics. That's the nature of, you know, the industry we live in. The other thing, other than radio selections, multi-band, is the display. It's so interesting to me, right, because a few short years ago, and I know I'm dating myself, the big thing was smaller is better. Smaller is better. It's like, oh, look at my new phone. It's smaller than my lipstick. Isn't that the greatest? And now we've really, this pendulum is swinging the other way, and now we're getting into what we call the phablet space, right? Are you familiar with that cool new term, phablet? Raise your hands, phablet. It's a phone or a tablet. It's like a large phone that's not quite a tablet, but it's bigger than a phone. Well, these things have, you know, very large displays and that are, you know, battery challenged, right? And so I can remember how happy I was the day I got my demo device of the Samsung Note. It was so great. It was, did everything I wanted, and on these older eyes, you know, it was a big display to where I could consume and surf, and, you know, it was just, oh, I was in heaven until a few short hours later and the battery was gone, because driving those displays is a battery hog. Like I've said earlier, but I wanted to elaborate a little bit more, the last mile, when you're talking about mobility and storage and the cloud, it's just not going to be typically, you know, like a broadband fixed line experience. For fixed, we can generally expect 50 millisecond latency on any terrestrial, you know, facility there, and that's great. That'll support voice, high-def video, et cetera, et cetera. even on wireless, 200 milliseconds latency, and it's highly variable, right? Your mileage may vary whether you're standing inside the Cosmopolitan, outside of the street on the Cosmopolitan, whether you're, you know, if it's cloudy perhaps, if there's weather events, if you're out in the boondocks, if you're downtown in the middle of Manhattan, if you're downtown in the middle of Dallas, Texas, your mileage may vary, but typically we would expect about 200 milliseconds of latency. And so that's, you know, for cloud computing, that really starts to matter. Power consumption, I can't say it enough. This is a little bit redundant, but yeah, daily charging, these immersive applications, you know, that are dipping frequently into the cloud, frequently into the back end to get the needed data. It's just a lot of power. Every time you do chitty chat on the network, it's power. It's power to the device. It's power consumed. And so when you look at applications and you're looking to do execution offload to the cloud, that's great, but just realize there's a power penalty, if you will, or a power tax that you're going to have to account for. And then again, on the radio side, I've said it before, but you've really got to wonder, these mobile users, how are they going to get to that data? Are they going to have good coverage in the area they're operating in? Are they going to have GPRS technologies available there, or will they be roaming into Wi-Fi? How will I do session persistence if they're roaming in and out of different coverage scenarios? Multi-technology as well. And so, you know, the Energizer Bunny can go all day and all night, but, you know, these power constraints and stuff, this is my humor part. You can chuckle now at this thing. I found this on the internet, right? But a little grisly, but it's true from a power perspective when we're talking about mobility. No live animals were harmed in the filming of that graphic. So what do we do? I got the five-minute warning sign 5 minutes ago, but here's what we need to do is like strategies. I've got two more slides, but the strategies you have to think about when you're mobilizing applications. First of all, when you mobilize an application, you really, just like any other IT rollout, you really want to make it good, because if it's poor, people don't like it, people aren't going to use it, then, you know, huge, huge fail. How do we make mobile applications, you know, work well in these constrained environments, in a resource-poor environment for the device, as well as the, you know, RF environment that we have to work with? So we have to worry about network bandwidth. You'll want a strategy to address that. In terms of in network latency goes hand in hand. So, you know, if you're thinking when we were rolling out LTE, it's like, oh, great news, high def video, killer app is video. And you're like, oh, my goodness, don't you realize that not, you know, your mileage may vary and you're going to be killing me with video. But so make sure that when you're doing these, you know, high content applications, that the user of it, whether it's a field service worker or a traveling executive or what have you, that they're going to be in an area that's going to have a good experience for that, and maybe there'll be an opportunity for them to be in Wi-Fi, and that's great. Make sure you have a session persistence strategy on your app that will give them that seamless experience, because if they get those big hiccups and disconnect dips, it's pretty bad experience. Battery conservation, I've already spoken a lot about that, but there's ways you can design your app to really consider that and minimize that and treat it like a precious resource, because it is. Elasticity in terms of, I think one of the next speakers is going to cover off on that one, but how much do I dip inside the cloud? Do I have a caching strategy? Does the little device, you know, how much caching could I do? And that sort of thing. Considerations, this is my last slide. Data access, again, the coverage concerns and the caching strategy. Just because there's a big cloud out there and a big whomever, Amazon cloud or whomever, and there's, you know, Google Earth out there available or whatever, gigantic data sets, big data, doesn't mean that it's going to be practical, affordable, or usable for you to expect to get that over the air in real time anywhere on the planet any time, day or night. And so you have to worry about that. The session persistence I've already gone over. No matter what your radio technology is, whether it's a commercial technology of, you know, 2G, 3G, 4G, et cetera, or whether it's a Wi-Fi blended strategy, worry about session persistence and synchronization of that data. Maybe it's okay for some of your apps, for field workers, et cetera, to be offline for a while, doing trouble tickets, doing this, doing that, and then once they're back in coverage, do a resync. A lot of times that's perfectly, you know, great, and they're able to do that. Just plan for that. And then again, finally, context-sensitive behavior on apps. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I'd take meetings on this very topic, and the IT guy would be saying something like, yeah, well, what's your lease on a, you know, a GPRS connection? I'm like, well, sir, you don't understand. You really need to use that connection, get off and use it again. It's not like an IP lease in landline where you're just, you know, a hog at the trough. You want to make sure you've got context-sensitive behavior and that you're using it in a very sensitive way, because it's going to really impact the performance of your app, and then conserve the network resources. So that's kind of it. We're going to have a panel session here in a few minutes for the Q&A, and I thank you for your time.